Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, and good afternoon, Ashwini.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I have announcements here to get us started, unless there's something else you want to start us with.
No, thank you. That would be great.
Okay. True Reflections is a six-week virtual training in cultivating attention on awareness to help participants nurture a lifelong friendship with wisdom, love, and compassion. The next class starts May 9th and is for those who have taken the introductory recording and listening class. Summer of Sangha is starting soon. Our spiritual home at 4 Acres Zen Center in gorgeous Squim, Washington, will host week-long and weekend retreats from June to August, offering a full schedule of yoga, meditation, guidance, and workshops. In addition, it will be possible to accept the precepts with this practice during the summer offerings. Slots are filling up fast, so sign up right away. And those who participated in the Mentor to the Rescue workshop on Sunday are invited to share what they're seeing tonight by getting in the queue.
And of course, Michael, if there are other folks who just want to process, they're welcome.
Yes, everybody. Great.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's welcome. That's right.
Everybody.
Thank you, Michael.
Yes. Sure. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Ashwini, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great. Okay, Ashwini, I think we are ready here.
Okay.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Helga in Charleston.
Hi, hey, Helga.
Hello. There's a bunch of things that I'm looking at. So I was just thinking about, you know, what I want to talk about. Let's see. So I was invited to an evening with some women that I play regularly pickleball with, and it was just women, and there were five of us. I don't go to a lot of social events with pickleball people. I like to play with them, and that's it. But anyway, I went to this event. They were all my age and older. One woman was still married. Everybody else was divorced, and I'm single. And as the evening progressed, I felt more and more uncomfortable. I just felt so uncomfortable. I just really wanted to go home. What I felt was there was, you know, I live in the South here, and I find that often quite particular as far as the conditioning goes. And what it felt to me was like there were these women, they were incredibly bitter and resentful towards men, you know, but that all came out like kind of sideways, and over all of that was a very thin veneer of politeness and cheerfulness. And I just felt sick to my stomach. And mm-hmm. I didn't say anything mm-hmm. because, you know, I didn't really think it through. It wasn't like a very conscious decision on my part. I just was very quiet for the most part. In the past, you know, I probably would have blurted something out and it wouldn't have gone very well. Anyway, I didn't say anything. I felt not good about the whole evening. I came home and then I did do some recording and listening, and the one thing that came out of that for me was that it felt like saying nothing was the best thing I could do in that moment. I didn't feel I couldn't get to any place of compassion. Mm-hmm. Looking back at it now, I probably could have a decent conversation with any one person singularly, but in that group mm-hmm. situation, mm-hmm. I felt so out of place. It was awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't yeah. felt so out of place in quite a long time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah. I'm not sure what to expect, but that was just something that it really, there was not a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the most sort of practitioner thing to do is to go record and listen afterwards, right? No matter what happened there, there was an awareness of the discomfort. There was an awareness that it dropped in, or there was enough awareness to know that you don't want to say anything, and curiosity afterwards, right, to see what was going on for you about it. And so you've recorded and listened. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of those places, right, Helga, that you don't do this very often. You don't usually go out and hang out with people whom you play pickleball with. So first of all, this isn't a situation that you have a lot of familiarity with. So it was unexpected. Mm-hmm. And not knowing what to do in situations which you're not familiar with is also expected, right?
Well, it's not, it's like, I mean, I'm quite a social person, it's like I do all kinds of things, but most of the time I do it like one-on-one. Uh-huh. And I've also been to a few pickleball parties, but they were all mixed gender. So I think mm-hmm. this was like the first time probably that there were just women there. And that mm-hmm. was a very particular experience, it's like where I yeah. felt like, I mean, I just don't share those resentments. Mm-hmm. I do not share the bitterness. I have, I don't. And what it, what it leads right now, what it feels like, I don't want to ever be in that kind of situation again,
Uh-huh. So that's interesting, right? So you don't, so Sherry always says we are where we are and we get to see how we are in those situations. So in that situation, you felt uncomfortable. You were aware of feeling uncomfortable. You were aware that you did not have the experience that those people were relating to you. You didn't know what to say. And so that's just interesting. That's what that's what you saw you were in that place. And so then, if you're aware that you don't want to be in those situations again. And then there's so many ways to go from there, right, Helga? You can record and listen about it. You can see why you were uncomfortable, what you could have possibly said, what you would, how you could be if you were in that situation again. Because as a practitioner, that situation was unexpected, and you got to see who you were. But that doesn't mean that the next time couldn't be a practice situation where you could choose to facilitate it. You could choose to say something that you want to say. There's so many things that could be different if you're in that situation again, right? That you could practice with if you choose.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could just get to that place of, oh, wait a second, I don't have anything that I share with these folks, and so I'm going to play pickleball with them, but I've learned something, and I'm not going to go back into a social situation with this group of people.
Yeah, I think that I have this, I know why I felt uncomfortable. you know, I do know why I've felt uncomfortable, but I think I have somewhere this there's an expectation, you know, where I feel like I should be comfortable there. I should be able to participate. You know, feel perfectly fine, and but I really didn't. I just did not.
And so the compassion is for you, right? Because I project you were required, you were caught in a situation where you were uncomfortable, and the compassion is, okay, well, here you are, you're uncomfortable, you can't say anything. That's a strange situation to be in, right? It's a vulnerable place where you can't say what you want to say. You can't say, you know what, I don't share this experience, or I'm feeling uncomfortable, I'd like to leave, or even say, you know what, I'm not feeling good, I'm going to leave, whether you share the reason or not, right? You're stuck.
Yeah, I felt stuck. I did. I felt stuck. I didn't feel like I could just, you know, get up and say, you know what, I'm not feeling good here.
Yeah,
you know, and as I said, you know, it's like I feel like I could have, as I said, you know, I feel like I could have a better conversation with like one person, but when there were all five of them. You know, and there's that shared, it felt like, you know, they all shared this resentment and, you know, grudge and bitterness. And I felt steamrolled by that somehow.
That's right.
Was sick to my stomach.
And there's an acceptance of that, right? There, and the it is what it is. That's what happened. We can look at it. We can see what we see about it. We can learn what we want to learn from it, and then just move on. And not indulge the conversation that says, well, you should have been different. So then you can turn around and say, how could I have been different? What would you have liked me to say? And if there is something that you could have said or you could do in that situation, it's likely to drop in if you feel like there's something left for you to see or learn from, and the situation will come back again, and you'll see what you see, right? But at least you are attempting to get clearer about what goes on for you in those situations. You feel stuck. Do you know how? I mean, you're looking at, well, what? How am I, or how can I be with people whom I don't share an experience with? It just wasn't available there then at that moment.
No.
So yeah, that
no, was, I couldn't feel compassion. I just felt sick. That's what I felt.
Yeah.
Sick and totally, that's the other thing, really, really out of place. You know, and I haven't felt that's the thing, I think, you know, I haven't felt, you know, I'm surrounded by all these people, you know, there's not a lot of people in my life here, you know, that have an awareness practice or any, I mean, I have some people and I'm always so grateful for that. But, you know, I tend to, you know, I don't feel, sometimes I do, but most of the time I don't really feel out of place. I just feel, you know, I am where I am. I have the experiences that I have, but boy, that was just so, I felt like, you know, like a square peg trying to fit into a round hole. And it was painful. Yeah, it was a painful feeling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very painful. And so long as, and your impulse was to go look at why it was painful and why you felt that way. And it's what Cherry says all the time, right? Helga, the process that we're engaged in is to see what's going on for me. Where's the suffering for me? Can I look at the beliefs? Can I look at the assumptions? Can I look at the projections? Can I see mm-hmm. how I was conditioned and what's going on for me? Because that's the value in encounters, right?
Mm. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, I don't know, maybe this is getting too long of a conversation. It's part of it is like, I have a confusion about projection. You know, I don't know, am I projecting all this stuff on these women? I mean, I heard what came out of their mouths. Mm-hmm. So it sounded to me like they were pretty bitter and resentful when it came to men. I mean, pretty, you know, talking down. Mm-hmm. Is that a projection?
Mm-hmm. Probably, yes. Because we're always projecting. Just because we're projecting doesn't mean it isn't true, right? But the point of a projection is to follow it back and see what you can see about it. And you saw you weren't, you within quotes, weren't bitter about it, but it made you uncomfortable. And so that's real. It's not that we, in the awareness practice, we're not trying to stop the projection. We're just trying to learn from the projection, right? See what we're seeing from the projection. Was there judgment for you? How are you judged? How do you judge? There was discomfort. So what's that discomfort around for you? What were some of the messages that you were getting? Why did you feel stuck? All of those things you get to examine.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, we wish we could do a do-over, right? Because it's always afterwards that we get to look at whatever we're looking at, and all the voices say what they say and let you know that you could have been different, or you could have said something else, or you should have been better, or whatever.
That was not the conversation I had afterwards. You know, what could I have said? What should I have said? Because what it felt to me, what it often feels to me is that if I had addressed any of that, there would be such a denial about that, because as I said, you know, over all of that there was a veneer of this, you know, very southern, very, you know, smiling, cheery demeanor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's just what it felt to me. So, you know, if I tried to address any of what I felt, of those resentments, the anger and all of that stuff, you know, I know what comes back. So
uh-huh.
I don't go there.
Uh-huh. So it seems simply, and maybe this is sort of where we leave it, right, Helga? It's just simply you did record and listen, and you did get the information that this is the best way to handle it.
Mm. Yeah.
And if there's more to see, and if there's more in the workshop, both will unfold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. And Ashwini, we're going to go to a good news update, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. And Jen, I'm turning it over to you for a good news update.
Great. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
And I'm pleased to be joined by Laura, who is here with us to talk about her experience of navigating life changes without self-hate. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
It sounds like such a good idea to jettison self-hate as you're navigating life changes.
It's so much more fun doing it with the mentor and Sangha.
oh, amen. I mean, kind of crucial, right? Almost not doable without that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just before I talk about the example I wanted to bring tonight was last week, it was on Friday, the peace quote was from our own Sherry Huber, and she said, life never repeats itself. Each split second, everything in the universe is different. Each moment is brand new. It could be anything. Don't miss it. Celebrate. And
don't you love that word celebrate at the end of it, Laura? That to me was like, oh, that just made the whole thing.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So I had, or conditioning had, some kind of preconception that when I went in to train with my new guide dog, I should know what I was doing. Now, the reality is that I haven't had a working guide dog for 6 years. I haven't trained with a guide dog since for 15 years. And so here I am with this new guide dog, and I am discovering that there is a lot of fear. And that is how self-hate is playing out. It's fear of not doing it right, fear of harming the dog, fear of not being safe in terms of navigating with the dog. And I had a lot of support, and I was able to see most of the time what was going on, which was also great.
So in other words, as the fear would arise, you were able to see how that fear was happening? Is that what you mean, that what was going on?
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
yeah.
And how it was an expression of self-hate.
Yes. It's so powerful, Laura. Yes, I am so excited to hear you talk about that. That's exactly doing the surgery assignment from the International Day of No Self-Hate. I was looking at the same exact thing. If you're going to, that fear is coming from self-hate. If you want to live a life beyond fear, you have to let go self-hate, and vice versa. If you want to live beyond fear, you have to let go self-hate. They're one.
Yes. Yes, it's like this, it's like a cycle. It's like a, So, and what I came to and keep coming back to is the circle of acceptance. Okay, I need to be patient right now. I need more practice in this area. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong. And and I have to be all in. Right. I can't accept one thing and not accept another. It's I just need to show up.
Yes. Oh, that is so true. Because if it's not all in the circle of acceptance, really I'm in the illusion of control. Now I'm going to pick and choose, right?
Yes.
Which thing is okay? Well, not that. That's not okay.
Yes.
But
yes.
Your
and
description. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if I'm in the illusion of control, then I think I know what's best. And I absolutely do not.
Oh, gosh, yes. And as you say, what's best for me? What's best for the dog? What I should know? What I shouldn't know? How am I going to learn that? How am I not? And it just becomes, no wonder there's fear there. Mm-hmm. And with that description of that, you realize, okay, patience. You know, I don't know that yet. I need some more practice in that. Okay. And if that's completely all right, if that's not wrong, if it's fine for you to be learning at whatever pace you're learning and the dog's learning, you know, getting to know the dog, if that's not wrong, if there's nothing wrong with it, truly that would dissolve the fear because there's nothing to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm. And then I move into a place of learning to love learning.
Yeah. Yes. And with each thing that happens, if it's not the way, you know, I don't know what would be an example of your training with a guide dog, but if that's not how you want it to go, that's not a mistake, right? That's our chance for a retake. Okay, let's practice that some more.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you've nailed it. Yep.
And, you know, it's so lovely, Laura, as you're describing it, because I'm going back to the learning to love learning. There's like those 4 or 5 pages that are so perfect, walking us through the process you're describing. Because what I hear in what you're saying is, okay, so not only are you and the dog learning these particular things, but with each step of it, if the intention is to navigate life changes without self-hate, then if self-hate comes up in that process, as is laid out in Learning to Love Learning, then that's another layer of learning, of a learning opportunity. Okay, let's retake that, this time without believing the self-hate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, it's a workshop at so many levels, and I am so grateful to have the opportunity to move through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because otherwise it takes something that could potentially be really fun, I imagine, getting to know a new dog,
yep.
Right? Have a companion with you all the time. It makes it into misery, and instead, with the opportunity to let go of the self-hate, it makes it into a joy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly so. Yeah.
Mm.
So,
lovely.
Lots of gratitude.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
exactly. you so much.
Thank you for bringing that. It's so fun to hear the, you know, everyday life things that are in, that we use this process. How does that happen to go beyond self-hate? You know, instead of just an idea, how are people actually going about that in their lives? What does that look like with particular content? It's so helpful to hear examples. So thank you for bringing that.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Thanks, Laura. Go happy.
Go happy.
And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Laura, and thank you, Jen. And welcome back to Open Air. And Ashwini, we have another caller here.
Thanks, Michael.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello. This is Teresa. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi. My first time calling in, so
welcome.
A little hesitant there.
I
participated in the Mentor to the Rescue on Sunday, and I loved it. I do find that I need assistance in getting clear about the what the underlying message in my situation is.
Mm-hmm.
The issue that I would work with is I have to put together a spreadsheet of expenses for a money manager, and it has to go back 12 months. So it's an overwhelming task for me. And I've had this task ahead of me for quite a while, and now am ready to undertake it. But I realize that I may not be clear about what the underlying message for me is. I would first characterize it as overwhelm. And I have a history of experiencing overwhelm like this over the years of my life.
And Teresa, what do you mean by overwhelm? So when overwhelm could mean that I don't have the time to do this, or I don't know where to start, or do you have a sense of what that overwhelm means?
Mm-hmm. It's most often is, I don't have the time to do this. And today I also noticed another element in it, in that, you know, I'll just give you this little anecdote. A person who has assisted me for a number of years in home type tasks and whatnot has lost one of her clients, and so she's looking for extra hours. And I'm trying to give those to her. But then I found, you know, in addition to it takes too much time, here I would have to interrupt now and give her more hours, which will stop me. It'll totally stop me. So I don't know whether that helps, you know, shed a little light on my situation.
So it takes too much time. And so, Teresa, is it rather than trying to delve in, so have you recorded and listened to the recorded and listened about this with the mentor? What do you feel?
Yeah, I have not. I did record. I did not listen. To the recording. I did not listen. So you say, Ashwini, what do I fear? Fear, is that the word?
Well, that's what you heard, so that's great. That's a great place to start. It's like there's a sense of there's too much time. I can't get this done. Because we could go to what we were looking at in the workshop and go, is there one small step that you think you can take?
Yes. I think I'm okay with the one small step.
Mm-hmm.
I did, do a little outline of what I should do first, and I'm basically working with what looks to be the easiest entries, into this report, and thinking that will help me get the momentum to build up to the harder ones that I do. But I'm still finding, in that example that I saw today, this person needs more hours. I can give them to her. I have other work. But if I stop now, if I start working with her, I will lose the impetus that I have now.
Well, you know, Teresa, the point, the thing that we were attempting to do in the workshop is repeatable steps, right? Because you can stop there, talk to the mentor, and see what the mentor has to say about that. You don't have to just try to figure it out, right? Because the step is, if I'm stuck, I turn to the mentor, record and listen, and see what information Wisdom, Love, and Compassion has to give me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
right? Because it's not necessary that just because it may not be true that stopping and giving her something to do is interrupts your flow or your rhythm. That's what you're told. It may not be true. You could find out. But that's the whole point of, because I could give you a couple of options which would be on a content level that may or may not help with the process you're in, right?
Yeah.
And the process
yeah.
seems to be that you could take a first step, then something comes in, and then that, and what we saw in the workshop is that becomes the focus of the issue, right? The resistance. Okay, well, should I stop? Should I not stop? Should I give her? So then you stop, because that becomes the task now. The task is no longer the spreadsheet. The task is I have to make a decision about this person who works for me. So let me do that.
Yes.
That I'm no longer in it. Sherry says one of her favorite words is mushing together, right?
Yes.
Now, getting this presentation done or this report done has suddenly become mixed up with this particular task about giving somebody hours.
Yes.
And so you record and listen about that and get clear about, okay, is this something that I can do now? If not, it's perfectly fine to say, I understand, I would love to help. Perhaps I can get back to you after a couple of days when I'm finished with working on what I'm working on.
Well, yes,
maybe you can help me work on my presentation.
Yes.
Right? Yes, hours. Yeah. So the content of what will arise from that conversation with the mentor isn't something that that we would know beforehand. But the process place is that 1, 2, 3. There's resistance. Overwhelm is a form of resistance, right? It's like I can't. It's a focus on not getting the task done because of many reasons. And you've identified that the reason is time. There's, it's a time issue. And then you start with one first step and you get interrupted by another problem. And so you can record and listen about it and then turn your attention to what's the next step I can take.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Ashwini, I also realize that, and, you know, I've done recording and listening for a few years now, you know, mm-hmm. on my own. And I realized, okay, turn to the mentor. And I think I have some skepticism about that is the word I would uh-huh. use. You know, like just turn that on there. I don't know whether you can help me with that or have me come another time or whatever.
Uh-huh. So, yes, well, if there is skepticism, it's also a form of resistance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not, the attention is in the form of resistance, in the sense of whatever the resistance is. But whatever is stopping me from moving forward with this presentation is also stopping me from being in touch with the wisdom, love, and compassion that
yes.
that is who you are, right? And so
yes.
there are a couple of things that you could do. One is we have a lovely retreat in the What You Practice Is What You Have work book that assists one to actually develop a relationship with the mentor, to get a sense of what it's like to be in relationship with the mentor. So if you want mm-hmm. to develop that relationship, you could guide yourself through the process of doing that with the assistance of that book.
Okay.
Right? Because it tells you how do you conceive of the mentor? Like, what are the qualities? Can you experience what those qualities are? Right? And,
yeah.
Teresa, the other thing is, so it just that place of every step or every, within quotes, issue or something wrong that the conditioning is throwing at us is a place to be aware that there is resistance and then to redirect the attention, right? But it's
yeah.
the place where you want to work. So first it was the presentation, then it was the person who needed more hours. And so the same thing is true in a recording assignment where you're attempting to turn to the mentor, right? You turn to life and talk about what's going on for you, because you could do the two-handed recording. The person who is stuck, who is skeptical, talks on the recorder, listens, and then see what the mentor has to say. Because that's the process of redirecting the attention. The skepticism cannot be overcome by skepticism. There's no way to be in a process of doubt and overcome it through the same process that's generating the doubt. You really have to step out of the process.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Easy way of doing it, Teresa, would be think of something record about something you love or something that you're grateful for, and instantly your attention shifts. You're no longer in skepticism. You are in love or gratitude or whatever else you've turned your attention to, from which the world looks different.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Ashwini, I am very, very grateful for what you are telling me. And I will just say, for the sake of everyone who is on the call, I have listened and participated in many, many of the workshops, et cetera, for more years than I can count, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I am just, with this call, doing a call in. So I know it's more than 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so glad to hear from you. And
yeah.
thank you so much for your participation and for putting yourself in the queue.
Yes, thank you.
And for letting us hear about your practice and what
yes.
you're looking at.
Okay. Many, many thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care. Good to hear from you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Teresa. And yes, that is fabulous. Ashwini, to hear from Teresa. And just wonderful to hear a new voice
yes.
here.
Mm-hmm. To hear a new voice and to know that presence over time, right? Through email classes
yes.
and everything else, and then for us to hear
yes.
directly from her, and that was fun. Thank you.
Fabulous. Fabulous. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good evening. This is Art.
Hey, Art.
Hey, Art.
Hey. Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Michael. I'm noticing kind of a big shift in how, just kind of how I am during the day. And it's a welcome shift, and it seems to be a little more, it's probably a result of the year-long retreat, but really, just frankly, a result of choosing to practice.
A welcome shift as a result of a choice for practice. Sounds
yeah.
wonderful. I'd say more.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm noticing that I guess the word faith is useful lately. I was going to say trust, and I guess that kind of goes hand in hand. That I can that I can actually be here in my body, in the moment, and be safe.
That there's a growing faith of being able to be here and be okay.
Yeah.
Be safe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I usually do a two-handed, you know, recording practice during the day on and off, you know, and a couple, two or three times a day. And that, of course, is helpful. I'm also, let's see, I guess, you know, I'm also getting a lot of help in actually talking about practice. You know, I have an individual therapist, and we have a couples therapist, and it's just helpful, you know, just I guess I'm bringing practice into my day-to-day routines, not trying to sell anybody, but just sharing my experience of practice without, you know, just from the things that I've discovered about who I am.
Uh-huh. So say a little bit more, Art. I'm not sure I'm
yeah,
tracking.
Thanks. So I guess that what's happening is that I'm noticing that I'm able to access a channel, you know, to a loving. I'm able to practice love more readily
uh-huh.
and more easily.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Would you say that you were able to be more present because you're practicing, you're not caught in the conditioned patterns that you normally mm-hmm. are caught in,
yeah.
and because you're able to be here, you recognize that you're in love, you're coming from love, you're not
yeah.
coming from conditioning, and so
yeah.
practice is assisting you to tap into who you into authenticity, it sounds like.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've been more regularly participating in virtual meditation, and when I can't, I'll practice with the daily recollection, and it's all, you know, and I'm listening to recordings, and you
yeah.
know you know, just
You're practicing.
Just doing all that. And so I suppose, you know, I really was, if this is kind of, this is cue practice. So thank you.
Right. Yes. Thank you. And I think you're speaking to the assignment from the Erlang this week, right? Because meditation is what leads us away from suffering. And so when we choose meditation, to be in the mind of meditation or having custody of the attention, no matter what we do, whether you're sitting on the cushion, whether you're listening to the radio show and doing cue practice, you are practicing custody of the attention, attention on awareness. And the more we practice that, the more aware we are. And as you say, the transformation happens, and it shows up in our activity, in our daily activity.
I'm just practicing to practice, but it's just like, you know, it's a little bit like a dog in the corner barking to, to scare away anybody that might threaten them. You know, it's almost, but it's in a loving way. You know, it's kind of like I've experienced enough. What it's like making choices based on self-hate and, you know, ego-centered karmic conditioning. And yeah, I'll pick practice any day.
Yes. That once we've realized exactly where those choices lead us, it's really the assignment from this week, right? We're choosing our experience over our beliefs over and over again, going off with conditioned mind. Only puts us in a suffering pit, right?
And
we choose not to do that. And as we choose not to do that, we have a different life experience.
And it's frightening and it's exciting in the same, you know, in the same moment. I just, okay, I'm here, and that's, you know, I'm alive.
Yes, I'm alive. And that it's an interesting experience, right? I don't know whether the label frightening or safe or any of those things are more than labels,
right.
But there is a sense of being alive.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a multi-toned kind of a feeling, right?
Yeah.
You could say excitement or fright. Same sensations.
And really, but it's so simple. You know, today I just read the most recent blog about the construction that was going on, you know, at the 4-acre Zen Center. And it was just fun, you know. There was just a childlike curiosity and excitement about just reading that mm-hmm. blog. You know, it's just so, you know, I get to choose now.
Yes, we get to choose. Suffering or not to suffer.
Wonderful
place to be.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So anyway, I want to thank everybody and thank you, and go happy.
You too. All right, go happy.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Art. And Ashwini, I really resonated with that line about, you know, I've tried conditioning for so long and I know what the results are. So mm-hmm. now I'm going to practice instead.
Yes.
And we have another call here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey. I did the working meditation workshop, and it was amazing last weekend. And I chose to do financial things, and I was stunned by the conversations that were just peppering me from conditioning. And I just am thinking, no wonder I never want to do this with this barrage of urgency, you're doing it wrong, all that. And and it was so great to break it down into, at first there was resistance to tiny steps, so that's stupid and it's going to take too long, says conditioning. And but the mentor mentor came in and said, you know what, this isn't about the thing you're doing. This is about being present, and had all sorts of good, you know, coaching for me. And then, I walked away from the whole experience going, oh my God, I'm stunned. This is amazing. And then immediately conditioning had me forget about it completely. And I didn't go back to working on it. And then once I got on this call, I thought, oh yeah. And the mentor came in and said, yeah, here's your next small step.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Wow. Yes.
Isn't that great?
Yes, it's wonderful. There it is, right? There's life looking out for you.
Exactly. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Just the nasty shenanigans of conditioning, and then the mentor comes in. And we were talking about saying, at some point, talking about saying, what is it, ding, to wake yourself up, you know, from conditioning.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mine is, I just get up and say, ta-da! So that's the one I like. And so that's what the mentor said. The mentor said, ta-da, here's your next small step.
Oh, how lovely. And it's lovely on so many levels, right, Jennifer? Because there you are, you have an amazing experience. You really, you realize the barrage of conditioning that's keeping you from this. You get the small step, you're successful, it's amazing. And then there it comes in again, right, to completely cloud the experience over. And it's that place of, if I'm paying attention, everything enlightens. And so here you are on the call, and then you hear about the workshop, and instead of the self-hate coming in, which it may have, the mentor also came in. Here's another small step for you to take. Because there's the training kicking in, right? That's what we can trust.
Yeah.
When we practice, the training kicks in. The recovery is fast.
Yes. I do hope there's a part two to this workshop. Yes.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
I said I do hope there's a part two to the workshop. There was some mention that it might continue, but maybe this is the continuation. But it is such a great process to go through with everyone.
That's exactly right, right? Because it's so wonderful to take what we say in practice all the time and apply it to a very specific thing. Like a concrete thing that one struggles with. It's what Jen was talking about with Laura, right? These everyday examples where we feel stuck, and we can be in Sangha, and we can look at it together and have so many insights that transform our process.
Exactly. That was my experience.
Mine too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. And Ashwin, I think we have time for at least one more caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Susan from Iowa.
Hey, Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Hi. I did the workshop on Sunday, and I was able to start taking steps on a task that I had really been putting off, and I was putting it off by, like, attention would just slide off like a hot surface or something. When I tried to attend to it in the past, it would just skitter away, and I was able during the workshop to pay attention. And now I have paid attention, and I can pay attention anytime now I think of it for the next step. I just can pay attention and record and listen.
Oh, how wonderful. What a celebration of a practice success.
It really, really is. It just feels very satisfying. And then, of course, I have another task that I am going to embarrass myself at tomorrow evening. So now I'm trying to talk to the mentor about that and just look at it as an opportunity for something. not sure why.
Well, yes, and to start with, not to conclude that you would embarrass yourself, right? That's their self-hate.
Ah, okay, yeah, I guess it is.
Okay.
Except I don't see any way around it. I guess
I don't see
any way around it.
Uh-huh. Would you like to process a little what that is or how you want to approach it?
Well, yes. It's something that I'm really proud of that a group I'm with accomplished. And so I was asked to speak about it. Had to speak about it within a time frame and very short time frame, which is fine, but to have a script. And when I tried to write a script, it sounds, to me, it just sounds very self-referencing. And 2 minutes, I can't really get out of it. And it's just all of that going on.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so recording and listening with a mentor to give you some encouragement, right? Not to give you discouragement. Like to redirect the attention from, I mean, if you're going into it with a conversation that says you're going to embarrass yourself, it's not really a fun thing to work with, right? And so
recording
with the mentor and go, well, how can we make this fun? How can we, what would I really want to say? What am I happy about? What did I love about the process? What am I grateful for to have participated in? There's so much that perspective can draw out in terms of words.
Yes, if I could slow down. But that is so helpful to realize that I can ask the mentor for encouragement, I've got stuck in the discouraged phase.
And the thing is, the conditioned way is I'm going to have to write something for 2 minutes. You're not going to be doing it right. You can't be so self-referencing, right? There's nothing helpful in that conversation. And as we looked at in the workshop, the focus of the conversation is to not do it, to not do the task. Everything possible to stop you from being successful at doing the task is what the conversation is about. So you're interested in looking to a process that's going to help you be successful in the task.
And successful means doing it.
Successful means not suffering.
Oh. Oh, right.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
Right? Because we can get really confused that it's about the task. And it may be, right, Susan? But the point is that the reason to turn to the mentor is to let life lead, whatever. And from that place, whatever arises, the most important thing is there's no suffering around it.
Oh, yes. That's just perfect. That's it. I've been just suffering like crazy. I've done it, so I feel really good. I mean, I'm ready, insofar as I'm ready, but now I won't suffer, and it might be an entirely different thing. Well, it will be different.
Yes, you can turn to the... Yes, because now the task is to deliver the speech. You can turn to the mentor and say, well, I would like someone with me while I'm going to say this or before I say this who thinks I'm going to be good at it, who gives me encouragement, who holds my hand, cheers me on, tells me that I can, helps me rehearse, listens to me while I read my script, maybe gives me a couple of suggestions, pats me on the back. I mean, there's so many ways you could have fun, God forbid, have fun.
Right. Oh, that is so good. I've been practicing with self-hate.
That's right. So good to see.
Oh,
huh? Yeah.
Oh, so wonderful to see. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Susan. And let us keep us posted. I forgot to say this to Teresa, too, but let us know how it goes.
Oh, I will. I will.
Okay. All right.
Thanks. Go happy. Good night.
You too.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. And Ashwini, I realized from that the genius of the small step, because when I have a big project, at first is like, oh, it's overwhelming, it's way too much. And then you bring the step way down, you know, until I start to hear, well, that step is so tiny, you're not even making any progress. And then I realize, okay, that's perfect.
That's
I'm right in the middle
yes.
there. I'm moving yeah. forward. And it's just yeah. genius to get around that conditioning.
Yes, exactly. It's like playing a chess game, right?
Yeah.
It makes a move in this direction that is a distraction, and then we can checkmate it with the redirect of attention.
Yes.
Right? With turning to the mentor. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Fabulous.
Yeah. There's always a step life can take.
Yes. Always. Always. Yes. With the mentor to the rescue, there's always a step.
Yeah.
And so that fun. Brings us to the end tonight. So thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, everyone. And go happy.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy.